The tyrant is gone, but the legacy of fear remains. Iraqis can now speak openly of the terrors of the past, but three wars and three decades of Saddam Hussein's rule have left a mark. This generation of Iraqi children has witnessed a war firsthand, and the mental scars are already showing. NPR's Deborah Amos has the second of two reports on the mental suffering caused by war in Iraq.
Yarmouk Elementary is in an upper-class neighborhood of Baghdad, a place where parents help out at school and homework is turned in on time. It is the last day of school. Exams are over. Two psychologists from the University of Baghdad are here to give another kind of test. Safa Abdul Rasul and Masoon Karim read from a long questionnaire. They are part of a university project to assess the effects of the war.
Listen to me, boys and girls. There is no electricity now. Which one of you is afraid to go into the dark and empty places?
Hands shoot up. How many have trouble sleeping? More hands reach out. Do you have trouble concentrating, eating? Are you afraid of loud noises? Most of the children raise their hands.
Which one of you has bad dreams about war?
They want to share their nightmares. I dream that while I'm walking, they fire a missile on me from an airplane. I have this dream all the time, says this boy. I dream that the Americans came to our house and destroyed half of it, and we got lost and couldn't go back home, says this girl. Flashbacks, nightmares, fear of the dark or loud noises are consistent with the symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder. Untreated, it can have long-lasting effects for the rest of their lives, says Iraqi psychiatrist Ali Hassim.
Many kids who are considered to be normal, but they are reluctant to join the school, reluctant to sit the exam, reluctant to prepare their homework, even reluctant to play. These are traumatized children.
When school opened after the war, teachers at Yarmouk say some students didn't come back. The children who did seemed different, more aggressive, more anxious. While researchers from Baghdad University can document the problem, there's not much they can do about it. There are no programs, no team of experts to run them, says Dr. Hassim.
We had little expertise, and in the whole Iraq, we haven't any child psychiatrist, believe it or not. Not a one.
This new radio program in Baghdad is trying to reach out to troubled children. The weekly show is called Shabab, in English, young people. The speaker is Dr. Al-Harith Abdulhamid Hassan. He's the director general of the Psychological Research Center at Baghdad University. In his office, after the broadcast, he talks about his observations. After three devastating wars in three decades, the trauma spans generations.
The problem is there, within the family, within the father, within the mother, within the uncle. They have this anxiety in their homes, and they have it in the school itself, because the teacher and the manager of the superintendent of the school also is suffering from all these things.
And you can see why at this computer center in Baghdad, organized by the Free Prisoners Committee. They've recorded the recovered records from Iraq's prisons. Abdul Razak Kabal clutches a small piece of paper with a list of eight names in small Arabic script. The computer operator types in the first name. There's a match. Executed in 1981. All eight names are in the database, and with each confirmation, more tears roll down Abdul Razak's face.
Eight of the family were executed.
Abdul Razak says in 1981, a neighbor turned his relatives in to Saddam Hussein's security service for performing a Shiite Muslim religious ritual at home. Religious expression was often interpreted by the regime as political opposition.
Now they tell me that eight of them were executed just because they did their rituals.
At the time, Abdul Razak remained silent. He was a brigadier in the army. to associate himself with political prisoners would have ended his career, ruined his immediate family. For many Iraqis, the grief and the guilt are overwhelming, says psychiatrist Al-Harith Abdulhamid Hassan. He runs one of the few private clinics in Baghdad and says many Iraqis need counseling.
Quite a lot. I can't give you the number. I haven't got statistics, if you like. But in my opinion, I think quite a lot.
Now, with the constant power outages, water shortages, mass unemployment, and overwhelming fears for personal safety, he sees more patients than ever before, most with common concerns.
He's quite worried about himself. He's worried about his wife. He's worried about his daughter, whatever. So they're looking eagerly, actually, for safety. They need now safety and security even before basic needs.
There is a sense of hopelessness and helplessness because of what had happened.
Again, Dr. Ali Hassim.
Our people was suppressed for decades. And here comes the chance to relieve that suppression. And I'm sorry to say that sudden relief of suppression has resulted in a disaster.
In Baghdad, these days, frustration often leads to aggression. At the gas lines, at the employment lines. For Iraqis, there is plenty of evidence the Americans are doing a bad job of running their country. Dr. Hassim hears the complaints from his patients.
I used to tell them, please, we have been in jail for 35 years, so it will not harm to wait for another 35 months. That regime was like a cancer, and we need a radical surgery to remove it. The patient, after having such a surgery, should complain and should be in pain for a while, but after a while, he should thank the surgeon for saving his life. Of course, it hurts a lot. Probably it hurts even more than the cancer itself, but one should wait and see.
Deborah Amos, NPR News, Baghdad.